This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
The current time is 6:02, and you are tuned in here to WRFL Lexington. My name is Grant, and it is between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. on a Thursday. So you know what that means. It's time for Tech Talks. So we'll be back here in just a couple minutes with some articles. In the meantime, I have some music lined up to share with you. I'm going to start off with a track by Future Generations, and we'll go from there. But thanks for joining me. Keep it locked all the way to the left here at WRFL Lexington. Current time is 6:18. You are tuned in here to WRFL Lexington. My name is Grant. I'll be with you here up until 8 o'clock. Got a couple articles headed your way in just a few minutes here. But in the meantime, I am joined here on air by an artist. You're going to be here playing. You're going to be playing at Willie's tonight, right?
Yeah, we're Smooth Hound Smith from Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to be at Willie's tonight.
Okay, yeah.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about the group.
We're there's just two of us, and it's kind of a foot stomping folk and blues situation. I do drums with my feet and guitar, and we both sing, and we try to make a lot of noise with two people.
Yeah, yeah.
This is our second time here at the station.
Okay, yeah.
So we love it.
We had to come back and say hi again since we were in town.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We knew to park in the loading dock this time. Hazards on.
So you are originally from Nashville?
Originally we're from California, but Nashville's home. It's been home for about 4 years.
And okay.
We're on the road half of the year, so home about 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Is this part of a larger tour that you guys are?
We just got off the road with the Dixie Chicks, doing 21 dates with them.
And oh, wow.
We're on a little tour until we head over to Europe for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're doing about a week's worth of dates here up the Midwest and the East Coast, and then first time over in England, Ireland, Scotland, and Denmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to try to not make any weird American faux pas while we're over there, but
world traveling, yeah. Certainly fun.
Gonna have to drive on the wrong side of the road there and
pronounce our D's as D's, not T's, like battery, not batteries.
There you go. We're on it. We've been doing our research.
Yeah.
All right. So you're gonna be at Willie's, and the time starting for that tonight. Remind me again.
I believe we start at 8:30.
All right. So
that'll be eat some ribs, drink some beer, and rock out.
Yeah. Right.
So that's going to be over at Locally Known starting at 8:30. So you can check that out.
I think we're doing two sets tonight, so it might start earlier.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. I know we're going to be there.
You'll be there at 6 o'clock.
All right. Yeah. Do you have something original that you'd like to...
Yeah, we'll play maybe a song or two, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just pulled it up. So doors are at 8:30 at Willie's tonight. Ooh,
okay.
Nailed
it. Doing one long set.
Oh, all right. Well, this is an original love song we're going to play. So if you're out there driving around with your sweetheart, put your hand lovingly on their thigh.
Or wherever you want, really.
Can you hear that guitar? All right. Lock me up in a padded room. Shackles on my legs, not a moment too soon. Tell by the look in my eyes, it's true. I'm crazy over you. I'm crazy, hey, over you. Over you. Set me free, or hunt me down with your guns and your knives and your bloodhounds. My body shakes like a lonely child. Won't you hold me for a while? 'Cause I'm crazy, hey, over you. Over you. My heart's been running around, never thought it would slow down. And I didn't want it to. Until I found you. Now I do. Lock me up in a padded room. Shackles on my legs, not a moment too soon. Until I look in my eyes, it's true. I'm crazy over you. I'm crazy over you. I'm crazy. Over you, I'm crazy. Over you, I'm crazy. Over you, I'm crazy. Over you.
That was Smooth Hound Smith. They're going to be playing over at Willie's Locally Known. Doors are at 8:30. Show starts at 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be there.
All right.
Wait, I think the show starts at 8:30.
I have it at 9 on my calendar, so you might want to check that. If you're interested in going to that show, you might want to check that out before you head out there. But
get there early, have some ribs, hang out.
Hang out.
Drink some beer.
But other than that... thank you for joining.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
It's always
fun to have a band on. It's always, I don't know, there's something, an element that's exciting about that. But thank
live
you.
Live music on the radio.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
You don't know what's going to happen?
We didn't say any bad words.
Yeah, there might be an F-bomb. Not with us, but with another band, you know?
And I certainly have to work harder when that happens. But thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. The current time is 6:25, and you were tuned in here to WRFL Lexington. My name is Grant, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. That last track that you heard just before that Smooth Hound Smith song, that was by the Local Natives. That track was called Past Lives. Back before that, it was Congos with their song The World Would Have Run Better. Next up, I have a track by Ruby the Rabbitfoot off their album Divorce Party. This track is called Nicola Law. I'll see you in just a few minutes. My name is Grant. And...
hi. I'm Mitch.
That's right.
We are Tech Talks.
Yes, yes. And we're going to be here all the way up until 8 p.m. hanging out, talking about technology, and playing some fresh music for you.
That's right. So thank you for tuning in and teching out with us this wonderful Thursday evening. It's been a little chilly the past couple days, so we are hoping everyone's making the transition into fall rather nicely. And there's been a little rain, but we're not going to let that stop us from providing a wonderful program for you tonight. We have a lot of stuff to cover, and we can either start now, play some more music. What do you want to do, Grant?
I think we got plenty of stuff lined up to go ahead and fire. But I did want to say, this first week of fall really did not get around. It's like, oh, it's fall now, time for the temperature to plummet. You know, we're 8 days into fall. It started on, like, the 22nd, didn't it?
Something like that.
I'm just blown away that as soon as we get into fall, temperature plummets.
Yeah, yeah, that's what fall does. That's the temperature falling, hence fall.
I always assumed it was because the leaves were falling.
Nope, it's the temperature. And, you know, your happiness also falling to the ground.
I enjoy fall. And are you one of these people that doesn't like fall?
See, I'm okay with fall. I like the temperature. It's just, it makes me sad because that means winter is coming. And when winter comes, it means it's cold. But the only time I'm all right with the cold is if it's snowing. And knowing Kentucky, normally it doesn't snow. Normally it just rains and is nasty outside. And we have to walk in it, so, you know. Other than that, I like it perfectly fine. It's just like the harbinger of making my face hurt for 3 months as I walk to class, you know.
That's fair.
It's also true. Fair or not, it is the truth.
So apparently the word autumn comes from an Etruscan root that is like a proto-Latin.
And a who now?
Etruscan. It's a proto-Latin language.
Oh.
Autu. Well. Which has connotations with the passing of time. So apparently that's where the Latin word was autonomous, and so the word continued to be used, and so it occurs in all the Romanic languages, Spanish, French, English, some derivative of the word autumn. But it's not quite clear where the word fall came from.
It's like I said, it's the temperature falling.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently, it might have come from the falling of leaves or the falling of the year.
I mean, that makes sense in both cases. The falling of the constellations, don't they shift around come fall?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of other interesting, I guess you could say, astronomical activity that happens in the fall, like the Perseids and things like that, that are really common.
And the equinox, the autumnal equinox.
Autumnal. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anywho, speaking of space, have we got anything space-related this week?
Well, I guess you could say that Elon Musk made some announcements this week, and I'm honestly very captivated. He had a big press...
thing.
Event, I guess you could say, this week, and... He announced that, so it's been, you know, it's been public news that SpaceX was going for the moonshot, I guess you could say, and going for Mars.
Yeah.
But Musk's goal is actually to be using a reusable spacecraft that will be able to hopscotch its way through the solar system.
A space shuttle, as in it shuttles things from Earth to other places in space.
From Earth to Mars, and then you set up a refueling station on Mars, and you bounce from Mars to Jupiter, or to Saturn, or to anywhere in the solar system, because, you know, the gravity well on Mars is so much lower that a full tank of gas will get you much farther than it will leaving from Earth.
Especially, what would be even better is if they put a orbital refueling station in, and then they wouldn't even have to worry about escape velocity, and the fuel could stretch that much more.
Yeah, certainly. But
we can build a moon base and have another orbital refueling station there, and people can leave from the moon.
He's calling it the ITS, the Interplanetary Transport System, in this conference that he had on the 27th, and it's a spaceship. It's kind of like if the Apollo orbiter didn't come apart and it all stayed as one big unit, rocket and spaceship all together. And one of his goals is to get to Europa from Mars.
Yeah, the large moon of Jupiter that's relatively similar to Earth in its gravity.
Yeah, it's smaller, but it showed good promise of water and therefore possibly of life, or at least to be alive.
Are there Ewoks on this moon? There had better be Ewoks, or I'll be severely disappointed.
I don't know. You might have to talk to NASA about that.
They don't answer my calls anymore. They used to, and then they got mad when I called the 30th time. So, with that, what else do we have up on the docket this evening?
Actually, kind of keeping with the topic...
Ooh, space.
NASA announced this week that Europa actually is incredibly promising because they've spotted water vapor on the surface.
That's neat.
So they found these pockets. Think of them like water volcanoes.
And they just spew water everywhere. They're giant water cannons.
They're big water volcanoes, yeah.
Is the water hot, or is it relatively cool, or do we know? Can we make a guess?
It's hard to guess, but we have a pretty good sense that it's actually pretty warm, because
that's
we're
cool.
Seeing it in this, like, vapor.
Steam form?
Steam. Mm-hmm. It's these steam eruptions. It's not just, like, water. It's actually has steam mixed in, and so there's a lot of promise then that we're talking about, you know, this 200-degree-plus kind of water heat, which is actually really promising to be life-sustaining. Access to that kind of water on the surface of a planet would be a boon for geothermal systems and things like that.
I would think more instead of geothermal in this sense that hydropower. You know, you've got water volcanoes, just strap a bunch of crisscrossing water turbines over it, and when the thing erupts, they just pew.
Yeah, but you
and then
also,
in the meantime, geothermal, yeah.
Yeah, you can drill rods down into the water, and they'd stay hot all the time as a way of extracting a lot of energy. I think that shows a lot of potential.
It'd be pretty interesting. But the only way we could have segued into that topic better, or made a better segue into a topic, is if we had a topic about segues right now, which I'm sad we don't.
No, nothing on the...
We did one time, though. We did make a segue about segues.
Segues and hoverboards, yeah.
I did do that.
Yeah. But there's... I guess that's the end of our space round for this show.
Round one, over. So, with that, we are going to take another 15-minute music break, and then we will be back at the top of the hour at 7 p.m. And we want to thank you again for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks, Lexington's only Tech Talk show program. So we hope that you're, you know, enjoying it. And as always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can call the on-air phone. And that number is 859-257-9735 or simply 257-WRFL. And other than that, we are going to start back with the tunes right now, so keep it locked all the way to the left.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Tech Talks. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us this wonderful evening. So, with that, what have we got coming up?
We got a couple more things coming up, cycling back around to some technology that's going to be impacting your daily life. So first off, Google has been working hard to upgrade some of their productivity suite. So the things that you may use, I know I find myself using them a lot, Google Docs, Drive, and Calendar are all being refitted to play together well as a G Suite. So the language that they used to use, where they called it Google for Work, they are now calling it G Suite. And so they're making a lot of upgrades to try to bring everything together with some glue to make it more interactive. So, like, Docs, Sheets, and Slides all have new features that are going to help integrate and kind of stream the process of multiple people working on a document at once, which, you know, originally was the big revolutionary bit to that, is that you could have multiple people together doing one document at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely become a very popular tool for a lot of college users, not to mention general, you know, people in business. As you said, it's a business suite that they're offering. And even the free version is, you know, very, very useful for collaborative work. So, you know, it's nice to see them actually putting more effort in there than just resting on their laurels and saying, we did something good. Let's leave it sit.
So the Explore feature has been in Sheets for a while, and it's been a quick way of being able to just highlight a chunk of text and tabulate data and see visualizations kind of with a quick graphing function. But they're adding it to Docs as well. So you're going to be able to quickly grab chunks of text and search for images to match. You're going to be able to incorporate links and other documents easier into written documents. So it's kind of this environment of trying to make it easier to I guess bring information together.
Definitely. I don't know if there's anything else I can really constructively add to what we've already said. I mean, it's a pretty simple, nice and robust program that you know, is doing well for Google. You know.
Yeah. Drive is working on a new function called Quick Access that they first announced actually today, and they're advertising it as shaving off 50% of the time of the 50% off the average time to finding the right file. It's a new algorithm.
It's so basically a new search feature, basically.
Yeah, so that when you search, you're gonna find what you're looking for with more accuracy. So that
that's
it
good. Yeah,
because
I'll admit, you know, using Google Drive, that is one thing I have noticed is that it can be a little slow whenever you search for something,
especially with a pitfall of trying to find a document out of a group that may have similar names. You know, this is a way to help you find what you're actually looking for.
Definitely. Well, what have we got up next, good sir? Or is there more that you would like to discuss about that?
That's all we had on that one. But next, talking about more integration for productivity, Facebook is launching Facebook at Work. I'm just going to let that hang for a second.
I mean, everyone already is on Facebook when they're at work. What else can Facebook at Work do that regular Facebook can't?
They bill it as a connected workplace is a more productive workspace. It's meant to be a whole bunch of ways of integrating, mostly for communication, within members of a team and teams within a company.
So Microsoft Link?
Essentially, but through Facebook.
So it's an instant messaging feature.
Essentially. It's got some other stuff as far as document sharing and
collaborative
stuff, but you know, there still continues to be, you know, actual team software that's designed around sharing projects and information that I think is still better suited for a lot of those tasks. But I suppose if you were a very non-technical company,
then it would make sense.
Then this would be pretty suitable.
Because I will admit, Link is kind of technical. There's a lot of things that have to go into the back end of it. It's a quirky little feature that Microsoft Office has. And honestly, I think they've kind of gone away from it in recent time. You know. But other than that,
And Facebook's a format that people are already familiar with,
yeah.
Especially people who aren't as technically inclined already know how to make posts and how to comment and how to do some of that functionality. And so getting that as a work environment and kind of a mix between an internal messaging system and an email process is, I can see where this could be something that you would want to use, you know? I can see where the functionality is. I don't necessarily see the appeal myself, but I thought it was interesting. I thought you'd find it interesting.
I do find it interesting. I don't know. I find it very... I don't enjoy it when certain companies like Facebook try to break into the productivity realm, because they do what they do already. It's a social media network. And personally, I think it's mainly because people would be like, oh, well, this is so easy to use. And I know this is going to sound really stupid, but I find it that it can lead to monopoly building. For example, Google Drive basically killed off Dropbox, you know, for an example. And it's certain things like that. And, you know, Google Drive ended up being a better software. But at the same time, I don't know if I would want business to be conducted over Facebook. Because, you know, it's a social media network. We don't know, you know, when it comes to doing business on a social media network like that and through a program like that, it makes you wonder, was the security as robust as something like Microsoft Link?
That is a major concern that comes to my mind, specifically with security. One of the other things that I wonder about is Facebook too late to the game? Are there too many already too well established, especially things that do nothing but messaging, like Slack, you know, HipChat? Are these already too well ground in and established?
Google Hangouts.
Within the environment already? Is there a market share for Facebook to dig into this work productivity?
And that's the thing. I really don't think there is. I really think it's going to be a neat thing that they offer, but no one really takes advantage of because, you know, there are other places that are already out there and other things that already do what it does.
So it doesn't seem like you're particularly...
And that might just be a premature. I haven't used it yet, obviously. Yeah. But that's my initial gut reaction. You know, I don't...
But does it strike you as it... Do you think this is going to have staying power? Yes, no.
I don't think so, no.
How many months should you give it?
I'd give it at most 8 months.
I'll give it 18.
Well, it's like Snapcash. You know, who actually uses Snapcash?
I can tell you I never have.
I haven't either. But.
But, you know, point is this going to be something they just quietly push to the background when it fails, or you think they're actually going to axe
it? I don't think they're going to push it. I think they're just going to let it sit there, and it's just going to do what it do.
And it's, yeah, that's fair. So we'll have more information starting October 10th when the closed beta starts, and then from there, they're working towards a private beta by the beginning of the year. We'll see where that goes, and we'll keep you updated as this continues forward.
Fair enough. Have we got one more article, or do we want to cut to break? All right. So thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks. We are going to play some music. Up next, we have some funk pop soul from Diego on the self-titled album, and that song is going to be Love, followed by Nako and Medicine for the People off the album. I believe that's also a self-titled album as well. No, it's off the album Hoka. And then the song from that one will be San Quentin. So with that, keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks. I am one of your hosts, Mitch.
And I'm Grant.
And we are joined this evening by our trainee, Cassini, who is going to help us out with these last couple articles as we continue to purvey our way through this precariously perched pile of technological ponderances.
That's right.
The look on your face always when I do this makes you...
The alliterations kill me at a deep level, and it's something that I have trouble conveying over the radio waves except with... dead silence.
And facial expressions that I always laugh at.
But you're the only person who gets to appreciate them.
I do. I do get to appreciate the way your face contorts in anger whenever I do that. So, with that, what have we got up first?
So, one of the interesting things that's happened this week in social media is that Mark Zuckerberg has kind of let us have a sneak peek inside what has up until now been a fairly secretive place. And it is a server farm in Luleå in Sweden. So we're talking about a facility that's about...
They grow servers, right?
Yeah.
They just plant server seeds and they water them.
And then computers come out.
Yep, that's how it works.
Fresh. Yeah. So A server farm is a location at which another common term is a data center.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a location where there are tremendous amounts of computing power all under one roof. We're talking about a building that's the size of a factory. It's 6 football fields in size, and it's just floor-to-ceiling computers.
Yep. And the other requirement of a data center or a server farm is that it has to be extremely cold.
Like, uncomfortably cold.
Like, if you locked yourself in the server room, you would probably die of hypothermia cold.
Eventually.
Eventually. So the reason for that is, and this goes back to a general property of computers. So if you'll notice, all computers actually have fans on them. And the reason for this is because computers, just by nature of how they operate, heat up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, literally what is happening when electricity is moving, that is actually the movement of electrons.
And that vibration generates a lot of friction, which in turn generates a lot of heat. So we're talking about basically having a whole bunch of space heaters all going in one building at once. And if you think it gets uncomfortably hot in factories...
It has nothing on data centers that aren't properly cooled.
A data center that has an air conditioning unit go out gets catastrophically hot and can severely impact companies like Facebook or Google's ability to do their job.
Not to mention that, you know, servers, you know, when they get hot like that, it is damaging to the equipment, extremely damaging to the equipment. So that all being said, they decided to build one in the Arctic Circle so they could just pump air in from the outside, dehumidify it,
mm-hmm.
and then pump it into their room, and then once it gets all hot, they shoot it up out the top.
Yeah.
It's like an Arctic whale.
Yeah. For scale, here in Lexington, in a given year, the average high varies between 86 degrees and 39 degrees. Whereas in Sweden, specifically in the city of Luleå, it varies from 70 degrees in the summer as an average high down to 20 degrees is the average high in the winter, with temperature in the evenings in the winter easily dropping below 0 degrees. So we're talking about a very cold environment. And as Mitch said, so cold that they can just take the natural outside air and pump it in, and it's cold enough to do its job as a server.
And luckily, it's already not very humidified, because in very cold places like the Arctic Circle, I believe the humidity is already naturally low.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know,
they don't have to do a lot of work to condition it.
Yeah, so it's not like they're pumping in air, you know, cold air. I don't know if there's a place where there's cold air and it's very humid. I think those are just naturally counteractive properties of weather. But that being said, you know, it's a really interesting idea. It cuts their operating costs by about 40%, right?
Yeah, their electrical costs are about 40% lower than a factory without all of this extra, than a data center. And keep in mind, they're cheating in some other ways too to save some electricity,
mm-hmm.
than it would be in the U.S. We're talking about 40% less power usage.
Yeah. Now, Cassini, you said you'd read this article earlier today, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about some of the photos that Mark Zuckerberg actually posted, if you don't care.
Well, I definitely think that there's something to be said for the aesthetics of the whole facility.
It's
if you
beautiful.
Just sort of... Yeah, beautiful. Mark Zuckerberg himself commented on a couple of them, saying that they reminded him very much of a lot of the sci-fi that he had seen. And I thought that it looked magnificent.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely an elegant and very sleek facility. We're going to be linking to this article and the photos therein over on our Facebook page if you want to see it. Facebook.com/ WRFL Tech Talks. But it's a very elegant, modern-looking space, and I think it speaks for itself. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
It's completely the mission here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like part of it is due to the photographer, but also part in due part to the designer.
Absolutely.
And just the cohesiveness of the aesthetics.
And that's really interesting to actually see someone who comes in and takes photos of a building or a facility like that, who actually uses the architecture in the photos. They specifically plan out their photos based around the architecture. Maybe that's not a unique thing, apparently. You know, like I said a moment ago, I thought it was unique. But
and the more I think about it, the more it would make sense that photographers do that a lot. But I think it's just the sheer design of this building coupled with its location, what it does, and also the photos that this photographer were able to take that sort of make it a very unique viewing experience compared to if they did it at a different location, you know?
Yeah, yeah, certainly. I think... Go ahead.
Well, I felt like a lot of the photos, as far as, you know, color-wise, felt as cold as it might have been actually up in Sweden.
So it was trying to give a sense of the actual temperature. The lighting and actual photo itself was trying to transport you to where it was in its coloration, making it feel cold.
Yeah, it's very sleek and metallic, and everything's kind of dark, and it's got this... It's a very elegant look. You know, they've got these big flat concrete floors and rows and rows and rows of black machines.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling and the walls have this like stainless steel look. It's very futuristic.
See, it almost makes me wonder whether or not this is going to cause the death of another project that we talked about earlier that was Microsoft related. And it was basically, instead of making server farms in places that have to be air conditioned, like that, you know, obviously this data center is at a place where it can take advantage of a naturally cold environment, but not all data centers can. And, you know, it makes me wonder what is the future viability of that project. The Project Nautilus is what Microsoft called it. And basically, it was exploring the viability of making underwater data centers. That they basically put data centers, a bunch of servers into a hermetically sealed capsule. And they put it down low enough to where the actual surrounding temperature of the water gets cool enough to where it cools the servers running in that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of clever ways that we can cheat the system and keep our servers cold, but I tend to like the one that's above ground where you have easy access to your parts, you know.
Oh yeah.
But again, it's just this level of ingenuity and kind of taking advantage of the environment that we live in to help extend how we do our work and our play every day.
All right. Well, with that, thanks for joining us, Cassini. We'll be back again next week with him. And thank you for tuning in and teching out with us. This has been Tech Talks. So we're going to play one more track and then hand it off to DJ Grace and let her blow your mind with some musical concoctions that she's got ready. And but to go out, we have the artist Sneaks with their new album Gymnastics, and that song is going to be Tough Luck. So keep it locked all the way to the left here on WRFL Lexington, your only alternative left.
We will see you next week.